Chapter 42. Kate could hardly wait for Micah to go before she called information on her cell phone, got the number, and waited for the call to connect as she ran to her car in the cold.
"Flavored Associates," said a woman's voice.
"Yes, is Courtney in? She's on vacation this week. May I ask who's calling?"
"No, thanks."
Kate flipped her phone closed in frustration. She would have loved to have cornered Courtney and gotten confirmation of her theory. She had learned so much. She felt like she was getting close to something. She reached her car, dug in her bag for the keys, and got in, eventually finding her way out of the parking lot and onto the street, where she stopped. Commuters flooded the street in front of her car, moving en masse toward buses, parking lots, and the train station. Wrapped in heavy mufflers and ski hats like wool envelopes, night had fallen. The rush hour traffic, tangled into lanes of red taillights and plumes of white exhaust, rose above the cars, an urban version of the toxic fumes of Centralia. Smoke obscured everything lately, and suddenly nothing was clear. Mars, Mars's wife, Micah. Kate flipped open her phone, pressed in the number, and the call connected.
"Homicide," said a man's deep voice, which Kate recognized with an undeniable thrill.
"Nesbitt?"
"Judge, what are you doing? You didn't return my calls. I've been wondering."
"Aw. I have a new cell. Sorry." Kate was kicking herself.
"You're stirring up a hornet's nest about the Simone case. I'm getting calls about you. Where are you?"
"I have to do something about that judge part. Back in the city."
"Listen, a girlfriend of Mars's wife called from the temple choir. She's asking me to reopen the case. How did the alto section of Beth Hillel get in on this act?"
"Oops. Maybe from Sarah Mars? She was making a lot of sense today."
"You spoke with her?"
"We sat Shiva."
Kate waited for her turn to leave the lot, but the traffic was unending. "Judge, I'm not going to reopen this case."
"Maybe I'll change your mind."
"No, you won't. George Hartford called, too, from whatever law firm. He also called my sergeant on top of it. He doesn't want you nosing around in Simone's murder, and I don't blame him."
"How's Russo?"
"Out of the woods. They moved him to HUP.
"He's at Penn?"
Kate felt a tingle of excitement. Penn's hospital was 20 blocks west. It was too good to be true.
"Wait a minute. Don't even think about going. He's dangerous, and it's not procedure."
"I'd never go see him. He tried to kill me."
Kate flicked on the turn signal to make a left turn, then finally saw her opening in traffic and seized it, heading west toward the hospital.
"Where are you?"
"I'm in the northeast on a job, a double homicide."
"Sounds grim.
And an hour away."
"I should go. Call you later, Kate."
"Great.
Kate." It took her half an hour in rush hour traffic to travel the 5 miles to the Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania in West Philly, and another 20 minutes to find a parking space in one of the clogged to capacity lots. Kate hustled from the Acura, her thoughts churning and her emotions racing ahead. Hard to believe she was visiting the man who had tried to kill her only the night before, but he had to have some valuable information on Mars. Kate kept an image of Sarah Mars in mind to motivate her. She prayed that Russo could answer some of her questions, and also that she was mature enough not to pull his plug. An impossibly young, uniformed cop sat outside the door to Russo's hospital room, reading the sports page, which he lowered when Kate presented herself, apparently not recognizing her.
"Can I help you?"
"How's the patient?"
"Fine. Sleeps, mostly."
"Is Steve Nesbitt here?"
"Detective Nesbitt? He was here earlier, but got beeped and left."
"Oh, right. That job in the Northeast."
Kate kept her tone even, so she could sound in the know and vaguely masculine.
"I'm Kate Fanti, to see Detective Russo."
"Fanti? I know that name from somewhere,"
the cop said, thinking aloud.
"You're the judge..."
"Eek. Ex-judge. I'm acting as Russo's lawyer now. Nesbitt said he'd put me on the list in case he didn't get back in time."
"List?"
The cop smiled uncertainly, his teeth perfectly white and even, as if his braces had just come off.
"I don't have a list." You're supposed to.
Kate scowled. Russo has a right to counsel, officer. You can't deprive the man of his constitutional rights just because you lost the list Nesbitt gave you.
He didn't give me a list.
He told me he did.
You calling Nesbitt a liar?
No, never. Nesbitt is
here.
Kate fished in her purse for her cell, flipped it open, and pressed dialed calls.
That's his cell number, right there.
Don't make me call him. He's on a double homicide and very busy. You don't want to interfere with him, do you?
No.
Quick, pat me down. Russo pays by the hour. Kate dropped her purse and raised her arms, and after a minute, the cop rose, folded the sports page, and set it down on his hard plastic bucket chair.
Well, okay, seeing as how he said it's okay.
The cop ran his hands lightly over Kate's coat and inner pockets, then slipped his hands underneath and patted down her body.
Want to check my purse?
Sure, thanks. The cop turned around and dug inside the bag, then handed it back.
Thank you, Kate said,
slipping inside the wide wooden door and letting it close behind her.